Radio station KAYT. Gina Alexandria. 88.1.
I've tried everything that I could in my life in this world.
Gospel Radio, serving all of Senla at 88.1.
Hello, and welcome to Mount Zion Missionary Baptist Church radio broadcast, where Reverend Roger L. Green Sr. is the pastor. This broadcast is designed to be a blessing and life changer for you and your family. Listen now as Reverend Green takes you through the Word of God.
So verse 22 say, and it came to pass. Can I pause here parenthetically and tell you that it will, something in life will come to pass. You keep treating people the way you're treating them. It will come to pass. Be not deceived, for God is not mocked. Whatever man soweth, the same that he'll also reap. If you plant it, believe me, it's going to come up. We got to be careful how we look at each other and how we treat each other. In the church of God, there shouldn't be no favoritism. I'll do for you, but I don't want to do for you. I'll pray for you, but I don't want to pray with you. I'll praise God when you singing, but I'm going to sit down when you singing. It's not about who's singing and who's preaching and who's praying. It should be all about God and you. Is there any God in you people in here? I come here because God's been good to me. He woke me up this morning. I may not be all I want to be, but I am what I am by the grace of God. And I just want to give God a praise for what he's done in my life. But watch this. And it came to pass. The beggar died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died, and he was just buried. Now we have the death of the two men. Now watch this. The graveyard is the great equalizer. You might go to Yale, another man might go to jail, but you're going to lay side by side in the graveyard. You may go to Morehouse, somebody else in the poorhouse, but you're going to lay side by side in the graveyard. Trump may think he better than everybody else, but when he died, he might be laid right on side of a poor man that he looked over. Let me tell you, the grave is the great equalizer. We all got to return to the mother's dust. The beggar died. There was no funeral. Nobody came to see about him. No preacher preached over him. They just took his body out And through it is a place called the Valley of Gehenna. The Valley of Gehenna is when they take beggars and poor people, when they die, they just throw them and place their bodies in the Valley of Gehenna just to rot. So when he died, they took his body, threw it in the Valley of Gehenna, where the body sit and rotted. But that didn't make no difference to God, because he didn't come back for the body. See, when the spirit leaves the body can rot, the body can be ate up by worms. It makes no difference, because it's not the body that God's want. And it's sad that you spend more time preparing the body to come to church than preparing your spirit. Some of you sit prim, proper, and correct. You've been in the mirror all morning long. You're looking pretty. You're looking handsome. But sitting there like you ain't God ain't did nothing for you, because you prepared the body and didn't prepare the spirit. Get up on Sunday morning. Get out of the mirror. Get on your knees and start praying. And ask God, let your spirit fall on me. Threw it in his body in the Valley of Gehenna. The minute the beggar died, watch this. When the beggar died, his body was thrown in the Valley of Gehenna, but his spirit. The angels became his pallbearers, and they brought his spirit and placed it in the bosom of Abraham. The bosom of Abraham means paradise. In other words, the beggar's spirit was in peace. Although he had hell on the outside of the grave, but after the grave, he had peace. See, a lot of you got heaven on this side, but hell is waiting on you on the other side. See, quit living as though you're going to live here forever. You got to prepare to know one day you've got to move. And I don't want to move with nowhere to go. I want to make sure that heaven will be my home. I don't know what's going on in your life, but as far as Roger is concerned, I've got enough hell going on here. I got enough time. The devil's dealing with me here. Demons is dealing with me here. The devil is on my trail here. And I don't want to leave here with the devil on my trail to spend eternity with the devil. But I want to leave here knowing that heaven is my home. I can imagine. Reverend Slaughter, I can imagine when the rich man died. He had a huge funeral. Preacher got up and said good words about it. People came in and spoke as a friend. Not a church member, because he don't think he went to church. As a neighbor. It's amazing that we can lie at funerals. It's more lies be told at funerals. Get to crying and know all you did was put Visine in your eyes. Walk up and tell me, oh, I loved him so much. And while the man was alive, you talked about him like a low-down, dirty dog. I told my wife, if something happened to me, don't let nobody say nothing. Because I'm concerned about their soul, because God might strike them down while they're lying. Oh, I loved him. And no, all the time. You didn't talk about it, tweet about him, did all that. But let me tell you something, brothers and sisters. We got to get real. And guess what? Can't nobody stand for you, and you can't stand for me. And you can't judge where another person is going on how they're living right now, because you don't know what the last conversation that person gonna have before they die. I'm getting sick and tired of people at funerals just because they live the raggedy life. You want to already put them in hell, but you don't know what their last conversation with God was. I have no idea. This man had a huge funeral, but he was headed in the wrong direction. So we got the divergence of the two men, the death of the two men. And let's look at the destiny of the two men. Let me explain this to you. When the lost dies, they go to a place of conscious torment. They're not in hell yet. They go to a place of conscious torment. The word hell comes from the Greek word Hades, meaning an unseen world. And why is it that when we speak of hell, we always want to look down? How you know hell is down there? Hell is an unseen world. It is a place that has never been seen by the eyes of man. Hell, as we think of it, is a place that has not yet been occupied. See, a lot of people think when you die, you're lost, you go straight to hell. No, no, you go to a place of conscious torment. Because if you're already in hell, then why in Revelations he gonna say you got to stand before the great white throne to be cast in hell? Why would God pull you out of hell and put you back in hell? You just go to a place of conscious torment. No one is in hell. No one is in heaven. Quit hollering, oh, I in heaven looking down. No, he ain't. They're in the grave sleep. Nobody's there yet. Because if they were already there, then why when he comes back, the dead in Christ first shall rise? So what are you going to do? Cast them out of heaven, put them in the grave, then come down to the grave and pick them up, then put them back into heaven? God ain't doing all that. The first occupants of hell will be the devil, the Antichrist, and the demonic forces. So when the lost dies, he goes to a place of torment. It's a form of hell, but it's not hell. And watch this. In the place of torment, you will be conscious of where you are. And guess what else? You will know why you're there. It's right here in the text. Watch this. And when one died, the man was carried into Abraham's bosom. Now watch this. 23, in hell he lifted up his eyes, being where? In torment. It ain't the hell of Hades. It is the place of conscious torment. He lifts up his eyes and he sees the beggar in Abraham's bosom. And immediately, Reverend Dearborn, he began to remember how he treated him. He began to remember the missed opportunities he had to get things straight with God and himself. God, it's bad to go to hell with heaven on your mind. Watch this, watch this. So when the lost dies, he goes to a place of torment. There's a form of hell without hell. And the Lord did not say the rich man went to hell for being rich. Nor did it say that the poor man was in Abraham's bosom because he was poor. It's all about who you accept in your life. And I'm getting sick and tired of church folk condemning people who got money. Oh, y'all done got quiet. It's nothing wrong being rich and saved. As long as you don't allow your riches to come between God and you. Quit walking around that they needed to give that money away. That man worked hard for his money. And you don't know what he's doing that you can't see. You don't know how many people he's helping. He don't have to get up on Sunday morning every Sunday and tell who he helped during the week. Just because you don't see him helping nobody don't mean that they're not helping. You want him to share his money. You got a 10 and won't even give me 5. When they went through the doorway of death, the status begin to change. The tables turned. The rich man, you might want to write this one down. The rich man became the beggar. And the beggar became the rich man. It's right here in the text. Look at verse 24. Now, this is a rich man. And he cried. It's in your Bible, right? He said, Father, have mercy on me. Send Lazarus. Now, watch this. Now, this is the tripping part, Tiger. Now, he still believes that he's important enough to have Lazarus at his beck and command. He didn't ask him to send one of the angels. He said, send Lazarus. Watch this. Send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue. For I'm tormented in the flame. Now watch this. Now before they died, he didn't give Lazarus nothing. Now, after death, he wants Lazarus to give him everything. He didn't ask for a whole drink of water. Just put your finger in it. Because I'm tormented in this place. Now, watch this. This is where I want to get you. Don't think if you miss heaven and go to hell, you ain't going to know why you're there. It's going to keep running in your mind. Every sermon you heard preached, every advice that was given to you, every time somebody told you that ain't right, all of these things will be rehearsed in your mind if you go to hell. Ah, my brothers and sisters, watch this. Watch what Abraham's response was. Verse 25, he said, hold up. Wait a minute. Look at verse 25. Remember now, you had it good. You received all the good things in your lifetime. And Lazarus only evil things, but now he's comforted. And you are tormented. Let me pause here and just tell you this today. If you don't remember anything else, I'll tell you. Don't ever think you're better than somebody else. I don't care how much education you have. Don't think you better than somebody else. I don't care how you dress and what job you have. Don't you think you better than somebody else. Let me say it again. Don't you think you better than somebody else. I don't care what house you live and how well you eat and what you drive and how much money in your pocket in your bank. It don't mean you better than me. You just blessed, but don't mean you better than me. And when you start putting yourself above other people because of what you have, God will rob you of what you have and bring you down where those other people are. And guess what? Those same people going to still treat you right. Like Reverend Simon said back in the day, this sermon may not catch fish, but it'll clean the ones of God. Watch this. Abraham said you had it all. You didn't share it. And said, besides this, verse 26, there's a great gulf fixed, which you can't pass from thence. To you cannot, neither can I pass to you. In other words, he is saying that the chances that you had to change are over. He is saying that there are no more chances. And once you get into hell or the place of torment, that's it. Grace is not found there. Mercy is not found there. And watch this. When he realized that he couldn't come, Lazarus couldn't come to him, and he couldn't go where Lazarus was, he said, okay, I can accept my punishment. He said, but I've got some brothers that are still alive, and I don't want them to come to this place. Watch this, Brother Wes. He still thinks Lazarus should be at his beck and command. Send Lazarus from the grave and tell my brothers about this place. Abraham said, hold up again. He said, now, if they don't believe the prophets that are alive, then how are they going to believe somebody that have come back from the dead? You got to, let me say this, and we're going to get out of here. You have to be careful what you say. Those who die in the Lord, they are resting. They are comforted by God. Although they love us, they will never return, because once you taste that comfort, they are comforted by the Lord. And he said, if they don't hear those which are alive, how are they going to believe Lazarus? They looked over him while he was alive. Now all of a sudden, they want to hear from him. They didn't care what he had to say when he was alive. But now they are concerned about what he says after he's dead. So he was saying that you can't believe somebody that's in the grave, that come back from the grave to tell you. But can I give y'all some good news? If you just got to have somebody that have come back from the grave to help you, I know somebody, and his name is Jesus. If you just got to have a voice that has been in the grave to come back to help you, then I know somebody that went in the grave, he's got up from the grave, he's alive and well, and his name is Jesus. And if you need to hear from Jesus, he's right there to talk to you. How many can testify Jesus know what to say, when to say it, and how to say it? Come here, Martha. He told Martha, your brother will rise again. He told Lazarus, come forth. He told the leper, be thou clean. He told the demons, come out of the man. He told the storm, peace be still. He told the lame man, rise up and walk. He told the dying man, today you will be with me in paradise. He told them that crucified him, Lord, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He told the disciples, I'm going away, but I won't leave you comfortless. He told me and you, whosoever will, let him come. He told his daddy, it is finished. He told his disciples, I'm gone, but I'm coming back again. And he told me to tell you this morning, you can go to hell, but you don't have to go to hell, because I've died on the cross. I laid in the grave. I got up with all power in my hand. Just like you can go to hell, you can go to heaven. Is there anybody here won't heaven to be their home? Won't you give God a praise? Won't you give God a hand clap? Won't you raise your hand in the sanctuary and say, thank you for the blood? Doors of the church are open. You can go to hell, but you don't have to go. The blood covers a multitude of sin. Aren't you glad to know that? I can't speak for you, but I'm glad the blood just don't cover a few sins. I'd have been on my way to hell for sure. But I'm so glad it covers a multitude. Is there anybody in the multitude group? Is any multitudes in the house today? But aren't you glad the blood covers you? Now, as we extend this privilege, I want you to do me a favor. I want you to remember that day, that moment in your life. If Jesus wouldn't have intervened, you would have been dead right now. If Jesus wouldn't have intervened, you'd been in jail right now. If Jesus wouldn't have intervened, you'd have lost your mind right now. I want everybody to think about that one moment. Yeah, you ain't got to think of a lot of them. Just that one moment where Jesus stepped in and made things right for you. And when it comes to your mind, won't you give him a praise? When it comes to your mind, won't you give him the highest praise? Hallelujah! Hallelujah! I'm saying to y'all, because it's coming to my mind, how he delivered me, how he brought me, how he kept me. You don't have to go to hell. You don't have to. But you can if you don't accept Jesus. He is the way out. He told the Pharisees and the scribes, he says, how can you escape the damnation of hell, you generation of vipers? And you know why Jesus told them that? It wasn't because of no sin they committed. He told them that because they thought that they were better than the lost. We're saved today through the blood of Jesus Christ. But don't look down on the lost. Don't look down on the ones that are still captivated and caught in sin. Don't look down on those who have not accepted Jesus yet. You don't have the right to do that. And as we extend this privilege, if you're here, if you have not truly accepted Jesus, your name may be on the church roll. You may have been at Mount Zion for years, but you just realized today, Lord, I haven't been saved. Let me give my life to Him. Let me give my life to Him. Let me give my will to Him. Let me give my mind to Him. Lord, I can't leave this place because I'm unsure of my salvation. Don't leave like that. Don't leave like that. Don't walk out of this sanctuary today. And can I tell you something? You have nothing to be ashamed of. The only thing would be a shame if you would miss this opportunity and go to hell. Come on, if you're here this morning. Come on to Christ, our last appeal. We're asking.